I have been looking so forward to this one. Let's pray together. God, throughout our lives in confessing Jesus as Lord, you have promised us to fill us with joy that we only know in you. We do confess that at times we let the joy of the world overshadow the joy that we share to the world because of what we know in you. And so we pray this morning that you will fill us with your joy, that you will help us to see your big picture in your new creation. In Jesus' name, amen. We do not have to wait much longer. Imagine a world where blind people gain sight, where the ears of the deaf are opened, where no one ever has any reason to fear anymore, in which, in turn, no one really has any reason to hope anymore. You ever thought about that? That if we did not have reason to fear, there would be no more reason to hope? That we don't have to hope for something anymore because everything is complete. Imagine, hate is overcome by love, and instead of pain, we only know no joy. But for now, we wait. We share in hope and love, and we share in Jesus with the blind, with the deaf, and with those in pain. And we get to listen to a word of the Lord that promises new worlds of joy. So here's Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with powerful recompense. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. Their grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there. And it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Karl Barth, one time, summed it up in seven words. Joy is the simplest form of gratitude. Like other passages during this season of anticipation, you would think that if we were going to read from Isaiah, that we would read from chapters 40 onward, from 40 through 66. Because, you know, Isaiah is just structured so beautifully. You have 1 through 39 and 40 through 66, and they seem to tell, if not two different stories, the same story in different timelines. The first one is before the people went into exile, and the second one seems to celebrate or at least look forward to with great anticipation, so much so that it almost talks about it in past tense. That here's what God's going to do, good news and bad news, and then here's what God did, good news, whether it had already happened or not. But it tells the story that way. And it would make sense that if we are coming in here talking about the anticipation of the joy of the Lord, that it would make more sense to read from 40 through 66, not 1 through 39. But for whatever reason, we're reading from 1 through 39. These stories that look at all of what's going on with God's people and say, here are the good things that are happening in life, and here are the bad things that are happening, and they seem to take place together. 40 through 66 is where you have all of the really strong, powerful, dynamic images about Jesus as this suffering servant, but a saving servant. 1 through 39 tells a little bit different story. It was the section of Scripture before all the heat came down, an introduction to pain, but seasoned with great hope and great joy. So if this sort of telling of Isaiah as we're standing here in great anticipation, and today with great joy, has inspired you today to go home and read all 66 chapters of Isaiah. Because I would imagine that's what you're feeling right now. I gotta go home and I have to read Isaiah. Here's what your experience is going to be like. Oh, I like that. I like this. Wait, I don't get it. Well, I don't. Oh, I like that. That's confusing. What's going on? Oh, I like that. I love that. What just happened in the story? What's that? Oh, I know that poem. I've heard. This is taking a while. But I like that poem. This is taking a long time. I recognize that poem from the New Testament. I don't get it. Don't get it. I like that. But this is taking too long. And you know what else that describes? Life. That's what life is like. Life is like reading the book of Isaiah, where you have all of this great joy and hope, but it's told alongside a prophet standing up in front of the people of the northern kingdom of Israel prior to the exile, saying, "You people are about to go away for a while. So just get ready, because you are about to go into exile. In fact, you're going to go to a place that makes no sense at all. You don't speak the language. The food is going to be absolutely awful. And by the way, everything that's happening around you is not going to make a lick of sense. And it's going to be painful at times. And you may even some mornings wake up miserable and spend the day miserable. And when you go to bed at night, you're still going to be miserable. But if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, during that time where you are going to feel extremely out of place in the world, you can count on one thing. You can count on the joy of the Lord. And some days, while you are out there wandering around Assyria and Babylon in slavery, I want you to remember that you're not the first to go through this. Because a long time ago, there were a bunch of God's people in Egypt. And you know what they went through? Same exact thing. Same exact thing. Some mornings they woke up miserable, spent the day miserable, went to bed miserable, and every once in a while someone, who most of the time we thought was just crazy, but most of the time, every once in a while, a guy would stand up and say, God is near, God is present, God is with us. Now, every once in a while, when he says that, you're going to say, here's what real life looks like. I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling the presence of God in Egypt. And guess what the people who heard the first half of Isaiah said while they were in Assyria and Babylon? God's not here. We have to go back to Jerusalem. But then you had prophets like Isaiah, and especially Ezekiel, who was there with them. And if you want an experience of, I have no idea what's going on, go home and read Ezekiel. It's even more confusing than Isaiah. But the message of Ezekiel is actually identical to especially the first half of Isaiah, and that is, even when you feel completely disoriented and nothing makes sense, God is near. God is with us. God is here. I know life looks like that, but this Advent season, right now, December of 2016, looks kind of the way that life looks most of the time. There's a lot we experience in our daily lives, personal as individuals, with families, friends, and the whole wide world that may not make sense. And I think that that would probably be even more startling if we didn't have the benefit of reading history and realizing, and here's the profound thought of the morning, it's always been this way. It's always been disorienting and a little odd. That's life. But throughout joy and pain and everything in between, the prophets of God have had the audacity to stand before the people of God and say, God is with us. This week you may be tempted to focus on your pain, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. This week you may be tempted to focus on your weakness, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. This week you may be tempted to give in to dejection, but the joy of the Lord is our strength. Dejection. Isn't that just an awful word? I mean, out of all the words that could describe Isaiah 1 through 39 and what's going on, that may be the most beautiful, ugly word we could think of. Dejection. I mean, even saying it just hurts the mouth. The dejection. It just sounds awful. But this week, on those days when you may be tempted to give in to dejection, remember this little poem in Isaiah 35 that we read today toward the end of this first major story. Because if you heard it, there's this wonderful image in Isaiah 35, and it's the image of a highway. And it is a highway that has a destination. And you can see glimpses of it along the way, little signs like you would on any other highway. And it says that your destination is still 500 miles away or 100 miles away. Well, we're getting closer all the time. You ever driven from, let's say, Lake Charles, that area, to El Paso? I mean, most people don't do such things, but if you do, one of the things that you notice, even if you didn't drive all the way, you saw the sign. It's one of the most famous signs in all of Texas highways. You're on I-10, you know, sort of the East Katy Freeway, way out. You're on I-10 and you cross from Louisiana into Texas. And it says something outlandish like Beaumont, 20-something or 30-something, and then it says El Paso. And you know what the number is? Anybody know off the top of your head? Trivia question for the morning. Yeah, it's like 800-something, like this really huge, crazy number. So Isaiah 35 tells the story of a highway. And if we get on that road, we start singing the song, "We're on a highway to joy." That's the way the song goes in Isaiah 35. But at times it's going to feel like crossing over and seeing joy 800, 900 miles. It's a long road. So one more quote for the morning. Tolkien said, "If more of us valued food and cheer and song above hoarded gold, it would be a merrier world." The good news for those of us who confess Jesus as Lord is that the food that we eat, if we allow it, is like a sacrament with God. We get to give thanks to God in the food we eat, the cheer, the joy even that we feel. These are gifts from God. So this week, especially with echoes of Isaiah 35, go enjoy your life. But not just life. Through Jesus, we know the joy of the Lord. And you know what the best news of Isaiah 35 to Jesus to now is? On this joy highway? It's that we don't have to wait much longer. Amen.